to the Fundraising Freedom Podcast with Mary Valone. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and this is the place where six and seven-figure fundraisers come to be encouraged, empowered, and educated on how to raise more funds and have more freedom. Welcome to episode 111. Today, we're going to be talking about the three nonprofit lies that need to die. And I keep hearing these lies over and over and over again. And so I was like, it is about time that we talk about them. And we're going to put these lies to rest because enough is enough already. Okay. So, all right. Before we do that, though, I wanted to share a little bit about my week. I spent about 8 days in sunny San Diego, California, and got a chance to do a co-lead a training with my friend Mike. We got to train up some missionary leaders, ministry leaders in San Diego, and that was so incredible. If you were one of those people that came out to that workshop, thank you for being there. It was such a joy to see you and to spend time with you guys, and really just to be able to share the work that I do. I got to train on the seven steps that are in my book, Fundraising Freedom, but of course, modify it for the missionary and the ministry leader. And so it was really so much fun. I know you guys could feel my passion, of course, for the work that I do. And the number one thing that I want to lean in on and dig deep on during my time, whenever I do workshops or whenever I train at conferences, is that I want people to hear the fact that we are the only thing that's holding us back. And I know we always want to assume that it's everything else, that it's, you know, the economy, or that people just aren't generous enough, or whatever it is. We just start placing the blame on all these other things. But when it comes down to it, there's something emotional that's going on inside of us. We give a lot of value. We give a lot of too much power to the almighty dollar. And I know, depending on your upbringing and depending on how you were raised, dollars might have been tough. And so you put a lot of value on that dollar bill, whereas somebody who may have had an abundance of money, had, you know, grown up with a lot, they just never really put that much value on their money. And so I want you to know right now that if you are struggling with this, if you're struggling with asking for money, which a lot of people do, and I get that. I mean, it was hard for me at first too when I first got started, but it became more and more of a routine. It became, you know, so second nature for me because I saw how much joy donors received when they started to give to our cause. And I just love that. I love being able to see that in those donors. And I started to realize that I was doing them a favor by inviting them in and inviting them to give to our cause. So I want you to just right now stop for a moment and address the thoughts that you are allowing to come into your mind around the topic of fundraising. Because if you have joined us for the first time this week and you're like, I just found your podcast, just started listening, there's a good chance that you're probably struggling with this particular area. And so today's conversation that we're going to have is going to address this because this is how a lot of these lies have kind of filtered into our conversation and into our thoughts, is because somewhere along the line it came up and it just seemed like it sounded good. And so therefore we just let it live on. And I don't want to do that anymore. Okay. So I was able to address some of that in that workshop that I did. And then also after I was done with my workshop, I got a chance to stay and attend a conference called Social Media Marketing World. And this is a conference that brings in our social media, our marketing experts from across the country and around the world. And there were about 6,000 marketers that were all in one place, anywhere from personal brand marketers to like the marketing departments of different companies, to people who are, you know, Instagram, YouTubers, people who are, you know, whatever, they're on social media in some way as their living, as their job. So it was really neat to be able to sit in some of these sessions and just really understand how people are utilizing social media in a new way. And so I want to share with you real quick before we jump into the rest of the conversation here, my big takeaway. And I mentioned it in my email last week, but my number one takeaway is the fact at the very end of the conference, the keynote speaker basically said, he goes, "In the end, here's what you need to know." And it was three words: be more human. Be more human. That's what they're telling our marketers. That's what they're telling people who are doing social media for the largest brands in the country and around the world. They're telling them to be more human. human. Because the thing is that we're in an age right now where people just want to know that there's somebody on the other line, that there's somebody that's on the other end that gets it. And so you'll start to see brands more and more creating videos and using actual real-life people and real-life stories about how they use their products and services. And they're going to be incorporating that more and more into the work that they're doing. And the thing is that us, those of us who work in the nonprofit space, we already get that, right? That's what we try and do all the time in our marketing and our branding, is that we're trying to get our message out there through stories and remind people that there are humans on the other side of every dollar that's given to our causes. And if they don't give financially, people will suffer on the other side. They will not get the resources that they need. And that's where it's our job to make sure that our nonprofits are human. But I just wanted to remind you that, hey, we are doing exactly what we should be doing. And there's a lot of businesses that are out there trying to replicate what our charities actually do really, really well. And I know so often you probably hear that, oh man, we're not doing it all that great. But in actuality, you guys are doing it the best, because this is what's working. This is what people want more and more of. And so that's where I want to dig into these lies that are being told, because I think that there's something here that we can address, we can shift our thinking, and we can become even more successful in the work that we're doing, okay? So the first lie I want to address is that there is only so much money to go around, and if someone else wins, that means we lose. And I ultimately want you to get here is that there are so many people who think that there's just so much money that can go into this slice of the pie when it comes to charitable giving. And last year alone, just in the United States, more than $1 billion was given a day to our charities. $1 billion a day, more than $1 billion a day was given. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And that's not even including all of these like GoFundMe and different, you know, CrowdRise and all these different kinds of organizations that have popped up, businesses that have popped up to try and market to the charitable organizations and the charitable individuals. And so and by the way, GoFundMe has made, well, they made $100 million themselves. You'll notice that I'm not a huge fan of GoFundMe, but that's only because it's a for-profit business. And I have a hard time sometimes when our for-profit businesses are, you know, maybe taking more than they need to. Okay. So that's the only thing is that, but you know, a lot of you guys, like when you're just getting started, GoFundMes are actually a great way to get things off the ground. So I'm not going to dog them, but the thing is that they raised $5 billion alone from 2010 to 2017. So right there alone, an extra $5 billion was raised just in these outside organizations that are raising money for individuals and organizations as well. So there's a lot of money that's going into our charities, but we have this lie that's being told to us that there's only so much money that can go to fill in the blank for your cause. Fill in the blank for the kinds of groups, whether that's religious or education or health or, you know, social services, whatever kind of cause that you have. We always think that there's just only so many organizations that people are going to want to give to if we're in that little slice of the pie. And that is a lie. Because here's the thing is that when you see something that's a good cause, or maybe you see somebody who's homeless and you're like, you know what? I got $5 in my wallet. I can just give it to them. No big deal. Nobody's accounting for any of that kind of money. Okay. And also, we make decisions every single day as to where we're going to put our money. And just because, I may have, you know, money allocated towards food or housing or whatever it is, I can always take that money. I can always decide that I'm not going to buy as many groceries this week or fill up my gas, you know, my tank with as much gas. There's always flexibility in people's budgets. So just know that you can win somebody over for your cause. You can turn somebody around to say, you know what, instead of buying that fancy meal at that restaurant, you know what, we're going to give that money to this charity instead. And I'm seeing more and more people become so much more charitable because of our economy. We're just like, I feel like we're wakening up to the fact that we buy so much stuff. I mean, like, look at the Marie Kondo tidying up show on Netflix. I mean, like, a ridiculous amount of people who watch that show I was one of them, and started just getting rid of stuff in my house and giving that all to charity. Okay, so there's that part of it. And then we're also realizing that we can be happier with less. So that means that that frees us up to more donations that could be going to our causes. But I know sometimes we get locked into the fact that it's like, well, if somebody gives to my competitor, whatever you want to call your competitor for your cause, that for some reason that money is now not going to come to my cause. And I'll let you know that is not the reason why you're not raising the money. I'm going to be very blunt about that. The reason why you're not raising money is not because your competitor is raising more than you are, or that they're taking the money from you. That is not the reason, okay? Because the thing is that we all can win. You know, when it comes to business, when it comes to nonprofit work, when it comes to individuals, we should want our friends, we should want our peers and our competitors to win, because the more that, the better that they market and they advertise and they get the word out about the work that they're doing, the more likely people are going to start to hear about the work that you're doing. And if they hear about them and they're like, wow, they're doing good work and you guys are doing good work, there's a good chance that maybe all ships are going to rise, okay? So I just want to address the fact that there is no pie, and just because somebody gave to one charity does not mean that they're not going to give to yours. And this was really an eye-opener for me when I did my work at the American Cancer Society. As I worked with my mentor, who I talk a lot about, his name was John, when John would share with me what was going on internally within our organization, and he would say, you know, the decline in funding. Whenever there was a decline in funding, he said it always was the result of internal conflict. It had nothing to do with the outside. It always had to do with the inside. It was the staff who was conflict, you know, that were conflicting. It was the volunteers who were, you know, coming at each other. And it was an internal issue. And if you can really look back on maybe the declines in the funding that you've received over the years, or that you've experienced or seen within the organizations that you've been a part of, there's probably a good chance that some of that was the cause of internal issues and didn't have anything to do with the outside. Now, I'm not going to say that we didn't have to go through a lot back in 2008 and 2009 when the recession hit. I mean, that's when I was putting out my largest fundraiser, and I heard it over and over and over again. People were saying, hey, I wish I could give you more, but we really have to be more conservative right now just because of the time that we're in. Now, I get that part of it. But when it comes to putting in the work and getting out there and getting in front of people, that is our job. That is your job. That is my job. It is our job to knock on doors and tell people about the work that we're doing. There is no pie when it comes to that. It's our job whether we're going to show up and we're going to take action or not, okay? So that's number one, the lie that there is only so much money to go around, okay? There is an abundance of money. There is so much money out there that is just waiting for us. We just have to go present our case for it. Okay. So number two, the other one is that no one wants to give. This is the lie I hear all the time. No one wants to give to our cause. I just can't find those people. No one wants, how do I even find those people? No one wants to give to us. And I just want to say that I'm like, that is just crazy talk that, you know, people don't want to give to you. People are more generous now than ever before. More generous than ever before. We saw a 5% increase in giving in 2007 to 2006, because that's the most recent statistic that we have from Giving USA 2018. And the thing, or 2017. And the thing is that there is an increase in almost every single area of areas that you can give to. So whether that is religion or education or health or social services or humanities or whatever the cause that you're working in, all of them saw an increase. You know what? The only one that saw a decrease was international charities. So that just tells me that more people are concerned about taking care of the people who live in the communities that they care about. And so because we're seeing a decline in international charities, that's just saying, hey, people are seeing that they want to take care of their own, and then they'll start to give to organizations that are international based. So I don't want you to be discouraged if you are an international organization, because people still love those causes and they're still giving to them. But I did see an increase in all the other ones. And just so you know, 31% of all donations are given to religious organizations, and about 14% is the next highest one, and that's going to education. So when you think about universities and schools and that, and then our religious organizations where people are tithing and buying buildings and giving to, you know, these different ministry organizations that are international and are local, that right there is 45% of our money that comes in just those two types of organizations, two types of funding. But the thing is that there are still there's so much money that's still being given, and people want to give. People want to be generous. The thing is that we have to make sure that we emphasize social proof, because that is the greatest, you know, one of the greatest influencers that we can have is showing that other people are giving to the work that we're doing. So I want you to just knock that lie right out that no one wants to give, because they do. And our statistics are showing it. $410 billion was given last year. $410 billion. That's a ton of money. It's a ridiculous amount of money, okay? So there's plenty of money for you as well. Donations have gone up every single year. The only 3 years that it's declined, and since 1977, this is what Giving USA has shared, is that the only 3 years that we saw a decline was in 1987, 2008, and 2009. And most of you guys know what happened in 2008 and 2009. But I had to look it up to find out what happened in 1987. So there actually was a U.S. stock market crash on October 19, 1987, and that's ultimately what caused the decline in giving that year. But there was, it was like a 22.6% decline in stock rates. So that was huge. That was a crazy year. So just note though, there's only been 3 years that there's been a decline since 1977. Giving is strong. Giving is on the rise. And the more that you can present your cause in a positive light, the more likely that somebody's going to be interested. And they're either going to pull from their charitable giving bucket, or they're going to actually pull from something else just because it's the right thing to do and they want to be a part of the work that you're doing. Okay. So number three, the third lie I want to die. Okay, the third lie I want to die is that people only want to give to projects. If I could tell you how many times I hear this, I hear it so many times that people only want to give to projects. If that were true, there wouldn't be so much money going to all these other organizations that I mentioned. $410 billion. You know how much money that is that's going to operating expenses and general funds that people need to keep their doors open and keep their program running? A lot. Okay. So the thing is that people, they don't want to just give to projects. Yes, projects are appealing because there is specific results from those projects. But the thing is that the reason why they want to give to projects is because you're talking about it. It's because you think it's what they want. It's because you want to talk about those projects. Okay. So in the end, people will do what you ask. So if you ask for funding for your operating expenses, people will give to it, but you have to ask, and you have to have this come to Jesus moment with yourself as far as whether or not you believe it's worth funding. Is your operating expenses, is your day-to-day funds to keep your doors open and to run your programs and services for your cause, is it worth it? Is that something that you think a donor should give money to? And that's where this conversation comes into play. This is why addressing the lie that people only want to give to projects, that is the lie that you've told yourself. And so now you're just repeating it over and over and over again. And that's where you have to change the story out. You've got to turn things around and say, you know what? People want to give to our operating expenses. People want to fund the day-to-day operations to keep our doors open, because they do. And I give to several charities that goes right into their general operating expenses, because I know how important it is to keep your doors open. And there are a lot of people just like me who believe the same thing. And so, but here's the challenge that you have, is that you have to shut off that lie that they don't want to give to anything else. And you have to start telling them what you need. And a lot of times people just say, okay, if I'm sitting down across the table from you, you're telling me about your cause and about wanting to give to the work that you're doing. you need to tell me what you need. And that's usually where, you know, people will say, okay, great, tell me more. What, how can I be a part of the work that you're doing? And then that's when you tell me the narrative. That's when you tell me the story about how I can fund your mission. And it's your job to tell me what specifics you need in order to keep doing the work that you do. And whether that's a project or whether it's not, that is your story to tell. Nobody can tell that story for you. And so as long as you're sitting across the table from that donor, you have to convince yourself first that this is a story worth telling. And then second, be able to articulate it in a way that the person across the table understands what it is that you need and feels compelled to be a part of it. And so that is your job to tell a good story. And this is where, you know, listen back to previous episodes about storytelling, is that we've got to tell this narrative about why we need people to invest in the work that we're doing. And I'm extremely passionate about our mindset issues because I do feel like we give this, you know, we're the ones that are holding ourselves back, you know, from moving things forward. And it all comes back to whatever that story is that you've been telling yourself, that lack and scarcity, that there's just not enough money. There's just only so much that to go around. And, you know, people just want to give to projects. If you keep telling those stories, you're going to keep getting the same results. So here's my action item for you today, because I'm really big on action right now. And I've been focused on taking action. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out a sheet of paper. And whether you're driving or you're listening to this in your earbuds and you're on the elliptical machine, I want you to pause and do this either after once you're out of your car. But I want you to pull out a sheet of paper and I want you to jot down the stories that you're telling yourself about why people are not giving to your cause. Okay. I want you to bullet out every single story that you're telling yourself. What are you telling yourself that's a lie? Okay. And I want you to jot every single one of them down. And on the right, so that's on the left side of your page, okay? On the right side of your page, I want you to tell a new story. What's the truth that you're going to tell yourself now? What's the truth? Are you going to say that instead of you saying that people only want to give to projects, on the truth side, you're going to say people want to give to our operating expenses. People want to fund our mission. People want to give us large checks. People want to give continuously. They want to give monthly. They want to give annually. They want to support our events. Start telling yourself a new story, because that will give you the confidence to go walk up in front of somebody and say, I know that you care about X. And I have to tell you about the work that we're doing, because I think it would be a great fit for you. I think that you would really feel compelled to be a part of this because we're doing great work and so are you. And we believe in the same thing. And something inside of you will arise and will click in the fact that it's like, I'm not wasting their time. I'm not in this story, whatever. You're wasting their time. You're taking their money. You're stealing their hours from them, whatever it is. I need you to change that, those stories around. And so the best way you can do that is you can just mind dump all of this information on a sheet of paper as far as what are the lies that you're telling yourself. And then let's address it by telling yourself a new story. What is the new story that people want to give in large sums of money to your cause? And just remind yourself that you are in full control over the narrative that's being told, and you can share whatever story you want. You can tell a story about John. You can tell a story about Sue. You can tell a story about whatever you want. But the thing is that if you want people to give to a particular product, you know, project, a particular, you know, part of your budget, then you have to continuously tell that story. Stop telling the other stories and start telling the story that you want people to move on. If you want them to take action, you've got to have a process to how you're going to move people through and ultimately do what you want them to do. And it's really not that hard. I know we overthink everything and we think, oh, if we just put out that newsletter, if we just tell that story, people are going to be like, wow, what a great cause. And they're just going to magically dump their money into the exact place that you want them to put it. And that just doesn't happen without intention. So, all right, well, that is what I want to get across here, is that these lies are lies. They're lies that we continue to tell ourselves. And it's about time that we start speaking the truth and we start changing the story to what it is that we want people to do for us, okay? So I hope that you can take that information and really take it to heart. Do this exercise. Take out that sheet of paper. On the left, write the lies. On the right, tell the truth and start start repeating the truth story over and over and over again until you actually believe it. Okay. I know this stuff is hard sometimes because you think, man, I just don't want to ask somebody for their hard-earned cash. But you know what? They're going to spend it somewhere. It might as well be with you. Okay. They're going to spend it somewhere. It might as well be with you. That's what I always told myself. All right. So thank you guys so much for being a part of this episode. If you're new to the show, welcome. So glad you're here. Be sure to join us in the Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook. Type in Fundraising Freedom Tribe. Come join us in there. Would love to have you a part of the tribe. And of course, be sure to check out Fundraising Freedom Academy. If you haven't done so, we just closed the doors on the Academy for the spring session. But if you've been thinking about, oh, I really need a coach. I really need somebody to come alongside us as we raise these larger dollars. I would love to be a part of your journey with you. And you can check out more details about that at fundraisingfreedomacademy.com. And if you're interested, don't wait to apply, okay? I'm telling you now so that you have some time to think about it, but the next session is going to open up in July, okay? So be sure to check it out, Fundraising Freedom Academy. And if you have any questions, don't be afraid to reach out. So I hope you guys have a great week. Let's go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. Would you like to create a killer 6 or 7-figure signature fundraiser where you have long-term sustainability, less stress, and the freedom to focus on what really matters? Well, Fundraising Freedom Academy may be just what you need. I'm Mary Valone, and I created an 18-month training program that gives you the clarity and confidence to launch, grow, and scale your signature fundraiser, including weekly coaching calls, masterclass trainings, and easy-to-edit templates to build your signature fundraiser. This was the exact plan I used to net $500,000 with a first-year event. Apply today for the next Fundraising Freedom Academy class at fundraisingfreedomacademy.com. That's fundraisingfreedomacademy.com.